You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll talk about cooking with stone fruit on this Food Friday.
Right now, Michael Perry is a familiar name and voice on Wisconsin Public Radio. He's a New York Times bestselling author of Visiting Tom, The Jesus Cows, Truck, A Love Story, and more. He's also a musician and is the host of Tent Show Radio, which is heard here on WPR.
One of Michael's earliest books is Population 485. It's a memoir that brings readers into life in rural Wisconsin. That book has been turned into a stage play that will be performed at Big Top Chautauqua on August 28th. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Mike, this is a big switch. This was one of your earliest books. What made you want to turn it into a play?
Well, the idea has been percolating for quite a while, and I have a friend who's a musician who over the years has said we should try to turn that into some sort of stage performance. And I realized last year that if I didn't just set a deadline for myself, we would just talk it to death. So I set I made a nice arrangement with the folks up at Lake Superior Big Top Chautauqua, and they agreed to stage it on August 28th, and that gave me a hard deadline, and then I just got to work.
Now, Population 485 is a memoir. What were some of the challenges of, you know, putting yourself and your friends, neighbors, and family, taking you from the printed page onto the stage?
Well, the biggest challenge is that in order to make a stage play that's not 27 hours long, you have to cut about 85% of the book, and I'm basing that on just word count alone. And that necessitates then a certain amount of composite characters, and you have to do a few things out of order. And that was a little tricky just because as a memoirist working in nonfiction, I always do my very best to get the facts right. I make mistakes, and if they're found or if I find them, I try to acknowledge them. But in this case, you're telling people right up front, yep, you, these two firefighters are now becoming one firefighter. Matter of fact, I called one of my brothers the other day and told him I pretty much wrote him out of the play.
Oh. How did he take it?
He did not seem too troubled and just got back on his bulldozer.
Well, what about the friends and the neighbors and the family who do show up on stage? Maybe it's one thing for a book, but to see yourself, you know, personified on stage might be another thing. What was that transition like?
Well, for me, the transition is you turn it over to the actors. If, you know, you write a play because you trust actors, and I've been very fortunate in that we're starting this locally, and we have a great pool here of local actors, and we have UW Eau Claire has a theater department that has been very gracious and helpful and a source of great advice, as well as some actors, and so I'm pretty good about like I'm used to cutting my own work. And I'm pretty merciless with myself. And so once I had the words on the page, I've found that the best thing I can do is let the actors interpret the characters as they will and let the director do the directing. I have a quiet word here and there if I think that something needs to be changed for accuracy's sake or to resemble the character more. But mostly, I think you get out of the way. I mean, when I wrote the original book, people said, was anyone upset with you? And you know, you get a few comments, but honestly, the most trouble I had to deal with were people who weren't in the book and disappointed because they hadn't been included. So here you're actually cutting a lot of things out. So I do expect that some folks will wonder why the such and such a story or such and such a character isn't in there. But you do your best to convey the bigger story in a play.
For people who haven't encountered the original book, Population 485, can you remind us what the story is in the memoir and that you're telling on stage?
Sure. It's just that old Can You Go Home Again book. It's been written many, many ways by many different people. And in my case, I wrote about going back to my hometown after 12 years away and being kind of a loner and keeping to myself, but joined in the volunteer fire department and meeting my neighbors at that point, one siren, one call, one fire, one ambulance call at a time.
Do you find that that book, I'm thinking about everything that's changed in your neck of the woods since that book came out, you've seen the rise of the Eau Claire music scene and a literary scene of which you're part. Do you think this book was part of spurring that, turning that Eau Claire area into a hotspot?
I would never claim that. Someone else would have to, yeah. I'm just typing here and trying to keep the kids fed. I am beyond grateful for that book, because what a privilege to be allowed time and print to write a story about a place that you love and still love. And I don't live in New Auburn anymore. I live fairly nearby. But what a privilege to take a little snapshot. But I've never felt proprietary about New Auburn. It's not my place. It's a place that I'm from and of, and I'm grateful for that. So now I can't, I'm not going to. Someone else I took. I'm just glad to tell the story as best I can.
We're talking to the very modest Michael Perry. His book, his memoir, Population 485, is being turned into a stage play. Michael, I think a lot of us wonder if there's a movie made about our lives. Who plays us? Who's playing Michael Perry in this? Is Michael Perry cast in that key role?
In this particular production, budgetary concerns coming to the fore, we've cast Michael Perry as Michael Perry. Yes.
After negotiations with Tom Cruise fell through.
It was tricky. Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth, but right at the last minute. No, I've always said if it ever makes it to the screen, I would like Billy Bob Thornton to play me. Ooh. But I don't know if time is going to allow that.
I was just going to say he might be aging out of that role for you.
I might be aging
he
out of my
young.
Own role, frankly.
You both play young, right. Well, you said there's a collaborator involved here with you, and that is one of them, at least, is Sean Carey of the band Bon Iver and Jake Lindgren, a director. Tell us about those collaborative parts.
Well, that's great. As a writer, I spend most of my time alone, and I'm pretty happy alone in my little room. But I found lately, in the last couple of years, I've been involved in several collaborative projects, and boy, there's a great joy in being part of a team. And in this case, we have Jake Lindgren directing another... a local guy who has been studying theater for years, started his own theater company, and coincidentally grew up right down the road from the farm that I'm on right now. And so we have that shared sensibility right down to the earth. And then as far as Sean Carey, we met over the course of time through Bon Iver and me working with Justin Vernon, and he too is just one of those folks that you can ask him down, you run into him at the coffee shop and just say, hey, would you be interested in working on this thing with me? And he just says, yeah, and it's about that exciting. You just say, yep, okay, well, we'll see you Thursday then. And but his music is, we just had him at rehearsal the other night, and he was playing underneath a couple of the scenes, and I had a little struggle to go on with his music. Just adds an indescribable element to it.
So there's live music going along with the performance, but it's not a musical, right?
It's not a musical, no. That's going to be a later iteration. We've got to work up the songs. these things do evolve. I mean, this is a work in progress. It's we're going to be presenting a fully realized and finished play up at the Big Top. But I've also learned from studying up on playwriting and reading plays and the history of plays and Thornton Wilder and Our Town that these things changed in their early years. And so there's some evolution. But yeah, Sean is playing. And then also when we're up there, he's going to be joined by Molly O. Molly Stoddard, someone who's played with me in the long beds for years on fiddle/violin, depending on what moon you're in.
You were just mentioning reading up on writing for the stage, playwriting. How was that different for you, the craft of writing a novel or a memoir from writing for words people are going to say? It seems pretty different.
Oh, it's very different, and I'm still learning. And I'm just about everything I've done, from writing to music, I'm learning in public. And that leads to some humbling, believe me. And bringing the first script I had to the actors and watching them struggle with it and realizing that the struggle wasn't them, it was me. And that's what I mean when I say I'm still learning. I'm a real respecter of genres. I'm eager to try other genres, but I never show up assuming I know what I'm doing. And it's been doubly true with playwriting. It's been a real challenge. But I enjoy it. I love being challenged at this point.
Do you have a taste for playwriting now that you've done this adaptation? Could you see writing original plays?
Oh, sure. I think it would be a lot of fun. But I got to get this one tuned first.
So,
and again, I can't stress enough, there's so much help out there. I love this area. Just today I had an email exchange with a theater professor at the university. And, we have these resources right in our backyard. And maybe we aren't big names or famous, but we're willing to work together, and so much can come from that. And I'm so grateful for the attitude around here, which is, yeah, let's figure out a way to get this thing started.
Do you think that attitude is Wisconsin, or is that just the attitude that's prevalent in the arts community in general?
I think you can find it everywhere. I'm always really cautious about even the whole, you know, what's happening in Eau Claire has been wonderful. But I'm always really reticent about the idea of saying we've got this scene or we have this special thing, because that pretty soon can turn into self-aggrandizement. And I just think you find good people and you do good work. And that's true whether you're working in New York City or Chippewa County, Wisconsin.
You mentioned that writing you usually do on your own, so this is a different kind of thing, this collaboration on the play. But you're also a guy in a band. Did that give you some experience with collaboration that paid off in putting the play together?
Actually, I don't collaborate much in the band. I'm the boss. I write them, I sing them, and that's the one endeavor where I'm kind of bossy. But I would say I learned a lot last year in my first experience working with the Eau Claire Music Festival. There I was doing a lot of collaborating and some writing in a style that I hadn't done in years. And one of the things I loved was just seeing that writing appear without my name on it and just as part of the team, part of the crew. And so I felt that a lot. Obviously I have to sit down and did have to sit down all alone and get that script done through many, many drafts, beating it up, cutting it up. And at some point, I just remember feeling like the school kid turning in my paper when I took it to Jake the first time. And our exchange afterwards was much like a school teacher and a school pupil. But I like that. I love input. I'm a guy who just came into this by accident. And so to me, criticism, as long as it's constructive, has never been hurtful. It's always been edifying and growth producing. And I feel the same about this.
Mike, thanks a lot for spending the time with us and good luck with the show.
You bet. Any information about dates or that sort of thing, bigtop.org or sneezingcow.com, and we're doing a couple of preview shows this Monday and Tuesday in Eau Claire.
Michael Perry is a New York Times bestselling author, musician, is the host of Tent Show Radio, heard on WPR. The stage event of his book, Population 485, is at Big Top Chautauqua on Sunday, August 28th. You can also get information on the WPR-sponsored trip to see it on the Central Time Facebook page, along with some general ticket info. Coming up after the news, Food Friday regular Lori Skelton joins us to talk about cooking with stone fruit. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.